Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
Sinn Féin has won the largest number of seats in the Assembly election in what is a historic moment for the Nationalist Party. And the final results were declared shortly after 1 o'clock on Sunday, with all 90 MLAs now elected. With the votes counted, Sinn Féin finished with 27, overtaking the DUP, who have 25, to become the largest party in Stormont. Now, the Alliance Party finished with 17, which is really good, by the way, for the Alliance Party, which goes to show you how disenfranchised people up north feel, by the way, when they've actually doubled their votes since 2017. So, in other words, a lot of people sitting on the fence, oh, I'm not going to go for the DUP, I'm not going to go for Sinn Féin, I'll go for the Alliance. 62% of people turned out, eligible voters turned out, which is down, by the way, on the last general election. For the first time in history, traditionally Irish Nationalist parties won more seats than traditional Unionist parties, which just goes to show you how things have changed radically up the north and people feel completely disenfranchised about what's going on up there. In other words, they don't really know. There's a kind of equilibrium of some description up there, to be honest with you. And it is difficult. It's a difficult place to be. And I don't mean that from a violence point of view or anything like that. Now, under the power-sharing model in Northern Ireland, the executive must have representatives from both nationalist and unionist parties. And the DUP has said it will not take part in the government, here we go again, with Sinn Féin unless progress is made on the Northern Ireland Protocol. We all know what Protocol is, that division down the sea. Anyway, they said they're not going to form a government again. So we could be back to a situation that they had before where they had 3 years with no executive. And they've only recently had no executive again, of course. So, look, it's very difficult for the people of Northern Ireland when there's no executive, because it means civil servants are basically running the show themselves, which is really sad because no bills get passed, nothing happens. And it's a very difficult time. But the fact that Sinn Féin obviously has the majority does lead people to talk. And the conversation, of course, has been around a united Ireland. Because, of course, Sinn Féin have been looking for a united Ireland for years. Now, I said it would never happen in my lifetime, but I'm starting to rethink that it might actually happen. When I say might happen, it might be put to the people. And, of course, unionists and loyalists, who for historical reasons were mostly Ulster Protestants, wanted Northern Ireland to remain within the United Kingdom. Irish nationalists and Republicans, who were mostly Irish Catholics, wanted Northern Ireland to leave the United Kingdom. And never the two should meet. I mean, realistically, I remember the Belfast Telegraph had a poll going back a few years ago asking how you would vote for United Ireland. And it was split down the middle. It was like 51-49 or whatever it was. It was more or less split down the middle. Half of the people of Northern Ireland. Actually, there's actually three sections now. I was even talking about this last night. You've got a large percentage of people who consider themselves to be British. You've got a large percentage of people who consider themselves to be Irish. And you've now got a large percentage, because you've a new generation of people, who consider themselves to be Northern Irish. A separate entity altogether. A separate country. So you have three options now, really, not just the two anymore. But how would you vote if there was a united Ireland? Now, you've got to think about this, OK? Don't just go, oh, yeah, we want our six counties back. It's not as easy as that. I mean, you know, the consensus is, yeah, everybody thinks that's a nice, ideal thing. But realistically, you know, have we got the money? According to the UK Office of National Statistics, by the way, 9.4 or 10 billion euro, 9.4 billion pounds sterling, or 10 billion, anywhere between 10 and 16 billion is the number that has been quoted, is spent to keep Northern Ireland afloat by the United Kingdom government. Do we have that kind of money? They have a low rate of unemployment. That's only because they don't register people as unemployed, because a lot of people are on disability. So they have the lowest workforce, I think, but within the United Kingdom. So in other words, a lot of people are on welfare payments. The people who are working, the majority of those, work for the UK government. So how are they going to fare off if there was a united Ireland? Will all those people end up having to work for the Irish government? The Irish government probably don't need that many people working for them. So what are they all going to do? There's loads of things to think about, by the way. What about sterling? Do we take on punt? Do we change our currency? We can't do that. We're part of the European Union. So then they have to, the people of Northern Ireland will have to start using euro. They might not be happy about that. What about the taxes? Income taxes, VAT rates will all have to be changed, which means people of Northern Ireland are going to be well pissed off, because they're going to have to pay more taxes and higher rate of VAT and pay more for their goods. What happens when it comes to GP service? The NHS is a far better model than the HSE. Are they going to have to start paying for health service? They're not going to want to do that. Or are we suddenly not going to be paying for health service? We couldn't afford that. So there's so many questions and so many facets to this that it's just so complicated. You've got to really think about it before you say yes. So it's a nice romantic view, isn't it? Yeah, that we become a united Ireland. But we've been so long, you know, as two countries, essentially. Well, geographically not, but two countries, essentially, that it'll make it difficult to go back. And it will take time. If we voted yes tomorrow, for example, it would have to be implemented over a 10-year period with things slowly changing. So I want to know how you would feel about it. If you were given the opportunity, and I don't know if you will or not, by the way, under the Good Friday Agreement, you may not be, although maybe you might have to be, given an opportunity to vote on having a vote, if you know what I mean. Would you vote yes in favour of a united Ireland? I'd like to know. The number is 087-188-0008. Now, interestingly enough, I did do a poll on Twitter, and I asked that very question. If you were given the opportunity to vote on United Ireland, how would you vote? And I was surprised that only 49% of people said yes. 36% said no, and 15% weren't sure. So I want to take a little vote on this now. I want you to text or WhatsApp. The number is 087-188-0008. Do you actually want a united Ireland? Or is it fine the way it is? Let's be clear. There's no trouble up there at the moment. The trouble's all ended thanks to the Good Friday Agreement and the agreement with Bertie Ahern and everybody. I'm sure even Bill Clinton was involved in that. There were so many people involved in that. But look, thankfully there's peace. There is still segregation in the north. There still is animosity between Catholics and Protestants and Unionists and Loyalists and Republicans. There still is segregation to some degree, but nowhere close to where it was 20 years ago. And hopefully, in another generation, that will slowly fade away. The number is 087-188-0008. Would you be in favour of a united Ireland? Yes, you would, or no, you wouldn't. Let me know what you think. Let me go to Morris. Morris, you're an Ireland's classic kids. How do you, Morris?
Afternoon, Noel. How are you doing?
Morris, you know, it's a complicated situation. Would you allow the UK, for example, to negotiate trade deals without having to worry about the reaction of the people in Northern Ireland? I mean, yeah. It's a difficult situation from a financial point of view and a political point of view.
Yeah, it's amazing the way it's come out now. And I watched, actually, I heard a very funny story, Noel, about a guy that went into Newry to vote, yeah?
Yeah.
And he's a truck driver and he delivers up and down north and south. You know, and he was going into Newry to vote for, obviously, Sinn Féin or whatever. And there was two RUC officers there and he handed one of them a white envelope.
The days of the RUC officer are long gone.
Now, listen to that. Well, PNSOI, right? Yeah. Well, who stopped you? The fellow with the gun, was he RSOI or RUC?
Oh, that was a long time ago. That was the RUC. Yeah, that was the RUC. Yeah, that was a long time
anyway,
ago.
Anyway, sometimes a name sticks, but anyway. He gave him a white envelope and he walked past him and the man says, "What's this for?" He said, "That's your application for the Garda Síochána." So there you go. You know what I mean? You know, yeah. Look, I, when I was talking to one of your researchers when I texted him, I said it was a united country before it was partitioned, you know? And I said, if you wanted to go back and talk about politics, which is a bad thing for an Irishman to do, two things you're told not to talk about anytime is religion and politics.
Well, there are two things that you don't talk about in Northern Ireland, by the way.
Exactly. Or here, by the way, in a pub especially, because you can argue all nice. But Michael Collins said it when he got that deal in England. He said, "I just signed my own death warrant."
Mm-hmm.
You know? So all I'm saying is, I saw a vote over the last couple of days where the democratic right of the people said, "We want this road to go down for us for the future. We want to see what can be done. We want change. We want things to change for the better for everybody."
But there is also, if we think about the future and the young people of Northern Ireland, right?
Yeah.
When you look at the vote, for example, over the weekend, and you see that the Alliance did quite well. Actually, they doubled their vote since 2017. That goes to show you that many people in Northern Ireland are disinterested in both either Sinn Féin or the DUP, for that matter. And they consider themselves not to be British or not to be Irish in some sense, but to be Northern Irish. What I'm saying? So you don't just have Irish and British anymore. You have Northern Irish people.
Northern. And funny enough, the biggest uptake of Irish passports now is coming from the north. Because when you're born in the north of Ireland, you're given the right to have either a British or an Irish passport. Mm-hmm. But because Britain is not in the EU anymore, have a guess who's taken up the biggest amount of Irish passports in the north? The Loyalists.
Yeah, well, I think by the way, in Northern Ireland is quite unique in the sense that you're allowed to have both. You can actually have dual citizenship.
But to actually take it for the sake of that you want to find it easier to travel around Europe. Like, you've seen the story in Spain already.
Well, I was only reading about this last night. The Irish passport is seventh in the world when it comes to acceptance. We have a very valuable passport. Even we're actually more valuable than America. The Japanese, by the way, surprisingly enough, have the most valuable passport in the world for some reason.
Yeah.
Obviously because of the low crime rate there as well. But in saying that, I think the Irish passport, I mean, we're trusted as Irish people.
Yeah. One of the things I think we should look at as well, if West Germany could incorporate East Germany and take the hit on that, which was 20 times bigger than the problem we're looking at, you know, I don't want
to... I don't know economically whether it was. And obviously West Germany would have had a better economy than East Germany, right? But in saying that, I don't know whether they took on the same problem, because if we take on Northern Ireland, you know, I mean, in the long run, it could be financially beneficial for the country. I mean, if you go, if you move forward a good bit in time. But realistically, if we take it on now, we've got a lot of problems. Because firstly, we've got to pay for a health service, because the people of Northern Ireland are not going to suddenly start paying for GPs or health service, because they don't pay for that at the moment.
Yeah. And look, at the end of the day, when Collins had to sign that treaty over in London, he was told, if you just don't accept this deal, we'll annihilate you. There'll be war and there'll be none of you left. There'll be no Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was told. So, you know, he said, I have to take the deal that I had. He signed his own death warrant. He was killed after that. What I'd say to you is, no drop of blood. Them 3,000 people that died up there want this country to be at peace. And whatever way is the best way of going about it, is for
But this is the burning question. What is the best way of going about it?
Did you ever think you'd see a generation of kids growing up in the north of Ireland that didn't know what it is to see the troubles of violence?
Oh, well, that's
and
great.
And they're
isn't
there
it?
Now.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're there now.
Well, they're
isn't that brilliant?
They're the Northern Irish children. Okay.
For everybody going forward. Well, you know your point you made about the alliance?
Yep.
Yeah? People are sick of Sinn Féin and the DUP and the Loyalists being at each other's throats. So they want to go down another route now.
No, and I completely agree with you. And not only that, when you see there's a poor turnout for the election as well, which it was a poor turnout for the election, I mean, that just goes to show you as well that people are kind of... And by the way, I think if there was a general election here tomorrow, there'd be a pretty poor turnout, because there's a lot of people I've spoken to that they said they couldn't be bothered voting, which I think is really sad.
And I'll tell you why. One article in the paper that upset me over the weekend, and Mr. Varadkar was involved in this, and he wrote in the article, "I will stay in power to keep Sinn Féin out." So he's going to...
Leo Varadkar really can't be saying something like that when he barely scraped in himself, to be honest with you.
Yeah, fifth count.
Yeah.
There you go. So it'll just go to show you, he's not putting the interest of the people or the country at front. I'll stay in to keep them out. You know, he knows nothing about our history as far as I'm aware, because he doesn't discuss it with anybody. He goes off, "Oh, I'm being attacked on Twitter, I better get off." You know?
Okay, we'll stay there. So, Morris, the burning question, Morris, if there was a vote tomorrow, theoretically, on a United Ireland...
And the people of the North wanted us, I'd vote with what the people want. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Lisa as well. Lisa, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Lisa?
Hi, Raya.
How are you doing? Lisa, how would you vote?
Oh, yes, 100% yes. And I am aware that there is a lot of complications, but it would involve a lot of compromise. I've had several discussions recently. We've talked about it. Like, say, for example, their Orange March parades. We'd have to negotiate with all that to include them into our country, etc. Mm-hmm. But I would vote 100% yes, because you'd remember it a lot better than me, Niall. I'm in my 30s, but the troubles of the North, the Irish government abandoned those people up there, those nationalist Irish people that were the horrors that went on. And if they thought for a second now we're just going to abandon them permanently, I think it's a sad thought, to be honest.
I do agree with you, but my thinking on it as well is, when you look at, say, 50%, and it is split down the middle, 50% of the population want to be British, 50% want to be Irish. Well, maybe actually, I'd probably say that 35% want to be British, 35% want to be Irish, and 35% are probably the rest want to be Northern Irish. Okay, but realistically, you can't just turn around to somebody who's a unionist up there, or a loyalist, and turn around and say, listen, I'm sorry, as in from next week, you're Irish now, whether you're living in Ireland, whether you like it or not. You know, and that's a bit difficult to do to them as well.
I know, but isn't it in the Good Friday Agreement that if the Northern Ireland Secretary believes it's time to have a border poll, we have the border poll. Mm-hmm. And like what the Good Friday Agreement was, they vote in the North, we vote in the Republic. If we vote yes and they vote yes, that's the trigger to start the process.
Yeah.
So it would be the democratic process. We wouldn't be just saying, oh, well, now you're part of Ireland.
Yeah, no, well, look, I don't think we'd get an opportunity to vote in the United Ireland. We'd get an opportunity to vote as to whether we would like to have a border poll, as you rightly said.
Oh, yes, yeah. Sorry, apologies. But the people in the North would vote. They would decide. You know what I mean?
It's not ultimately, like, it's their faith, isn't it? It's not ours, really. Well, it is, it is ours to some degree, because it obviously affects our economy, apart from anything else.
Yeah. I just think, I suppose, it'd be the right thing. And also, like, we would be willing to compromise the Irish people on certain things, say the national anthem. We'd have to have the two of them and things. If we wanted it, there would be a level of compromise.
And where would the country be run from? Belfast? Dublin?
Dublin, but I kind of thought if it was to start off, you'd still have Stormont and still have Dublin, because it wouldn't just happen overnight. It'd be a transition. And think the systems are so different up the north to the Republic. You'd need to keep Stormont up there. Well, that's if they'd actually get together for one. So I think the big change in the vote up there is they want, Sinn Féin didn't gain seats. It's just the DUP lost seats.
They lost a lot of seats to the Alliance Party as well.
Yeah, exactly, because they're sick of listening to them all fighting all the time. Because
they've only started and they're fighting again. You know what I mean? I don't think there's going to be an executive again now.
No, but the thing is, the protocol, this thing that Geoffrey Donaldson's on about, the people of Northern Ireland do not care about. Like, my hairdresser's Northern Irish, and I was talking to her on Friday, everyone talked about the election, and she was saying, my family and friends up there, they see it as the best of both worlds. He's talking about something we do not care about. So that's the sad part. They're sick of listening to it. They want a government that actually does what we need to do. You know, us, our government trying to help us with the cost of living, et cetera, et cetera. That's what they want. And they'd get that with Ireland. They'd have a better deal in Ireland as an Irish government, my personal opinion. I know we're not perfect. I know there's problems. But it'd be a lot better than what they have now.
Hey, look, you know, even if it was a yes vote and we decided to have a united Ireland, it's not going to happen in a day. It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in 5 years. It would take 10 years to slowly change everything, because the biggest problem you have in Northern Ireland is unemployment. Now, most people do not recognise as unemployment, because the unemployment rate is actually quite low. Most people would be on disability because of the troubles in postnatal depression and all that kind of, or not postnatal depression, sorry. I was thinking something completely different. But they're suffering from depression after the troubles. A lot of people are.
I didn't know that, Niall.
A lot of people are claiming welfare payments, post-traumatic stress is what I actually meant to say. Not postnatal depression, sorry. Do apologise. I was talking about that on Friday. That's why I got confused. But in saying that, so there are so many people up there on disability payments, so many people on a social welfare payment, and the rest of the people that are working, a large percentage of them work for the UK government. So they work for the state. So are the Irish government willing to take them on? Not probably all of them. So you've got a huge problem of employment in the north. And that's always been a problem. So, I mean, I don't know how we're going to solve that. Then we've got the problem with the NHS versus the HSE. The NHS is such a superior model, much superior model to the HSE. I'm sorry to have to say that. Because I live 4 days a week in the north. So I know exactly how good it is.
My partner's English. So, I had to explain to him when he moved over here when I dragged him back to Ireland about getting health insurance and stuff.
Look, when you walk in, I've been in the Ulster Hospital a couple of times, and you go in, you're in and out in an hour. You know what I mean? I mean, there's none of this 9 hours, 12 hours carry on that you would be down here. You know, and apart from anything else, you know, if you need drugs, your GP consultation is free. You get your drugs for free. Are you going to turn around to the people in Northern Ireland and say, well, I'm sorry, is they going to have to pay now? No.
It might be the push of the government. Our government need to actually fix up our healthcare system, Niall. It could be an opportunity.
we couldn't afford to do it for free. That's the problem. I think, you know, and apart from anything else, get the UK government subsidising Northern Ireland to the tune of somewhere between 10 and 15 billion per year. We're going to have to come up with that money.
Yeah, I know. The only way it would be the long term is if they did reunify with us. The perks of, say, all the big companies that are in Ireland, that it would spread to the north and unemployment would ease that way, maybe.
That's a possibility.
I'm not an economist now or anything like that.
There is a possibility, absolutely, that it could benefit us in the long term. But I think in the short term, you know, there was a recent study that suggested Irish unification could boost the all-Ireland GDP.
Oh, I think it would too.
Yeah, to 35 billion.
Yeah, but so, it just leave the one thing I say about our current government, and they need to realise, because the amount of people I've seen talking about this specific subject are starting to get annoyed. Why aren't our government even saying, well, what would we do? As in, they're ignoring it, as like they've given up on it. And I'm not a Sinn Féin person, I would never vote for them. But if they don't start talking about this, I'll have other problems. I wouldn't vote for them at the moment, where everything's going on. But they need to start to say, hang on, let's try and look at it, because I've heard so many people talk about it recently.
Yeah, okay. So you would vote for a poll tomorrow, absolutely.
100% vote for a poll. Yeah. But personally, now again, I don't think they should start doing it right now. I think they need to let this adjust and maybe get the executive up and going, focus on some of the problems up there. And then when the next elections come along, if it's still the same situation, then push for a border poll.
Okay.
Like, I think right now you might scare the crap out of them, if I'm being honest.
Absolutely. You know, do you think we'll have a 32-county Ireland in your lifetime, in my lifetime? Well, maybe in your lifetime more so than mine.
I'm in my mid-30s. Yeah, I do. I 100% believe I'll see it.
Okay.
Well, that could be me being an
optimistic.
Idealist, but yes, but I would love to think I'd see it, yeah.
Okay, listen, thank you, Lisa. There you go. Lisa said she would absolutely vote yes, and she would certainly vote yes to have a border poll. And that would be the question that would be asked because the Good Friday Agreement doesn't necessarily mean you have a right to vote, by the way, on whether Northern Ireland becomes part of Ireland, but you do have a right to vote on whether there should be a vote in the first place. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me know what you think. Let me look at some of your WhatsApp messages, by the way, that are coming in here as well at the moment.
Niall, how are you doing? Smake the taxi, man. Niall, do you know, it's a funny one. It's hard to know what yes or no. You know, you'd love to see United Ireland. You'd love to see the 32 counties as they are, you know. But we're after learning how to live with the divide. We're after living since, 1998 was the peace process. And since then, so Bill Clinton and John Hume, and I think Bono stuck his head in. But we're living in peaceful times, you know. I don't see the harm in, but a lot of people will say, yeah, 32 counties, it'd be nice to see a rule, you know. But Sinn Féin would be the dominant party in the north. And if there's an election down here, well, then effectively they'd be in charge of a 32 county Ireland, which would be nice to see. But as you said, the financial side of it, you know, will the people of the north want to join the Irish? Will we go under Euros? You know, you have to change the card systems. You have to have all the social welfare system changed, justice ministers and all that kind of stuff, you know. It's a really, really hard one, but I'd love to see it, but, you know, Daniel O'Connell fought for home rule. So it's going on since then. It's not only the 1916, you know, it's Daniel O'Connell, you know. It's but I'm confused about it, but it's a hard one to call, Niall. But if you ask me yeah or no, I would say yeah. I'd love to see it. Or would it happen? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, well, there you go. Would it happen? Well, by the way, I mentioned actually, I was reading some of the UK papers about the election over the weekend in Northern Ireland and looking at Sky News and BBC. It's strange the way they still refer to Sinn Féin as the political wing of the IRA. You don't see that, of course, in Irish media. We very rarely would ever use that term. But it's odd to see that they're still hanging on to that, you know, some 25, 30 years later.
No, I'm sorry, but I have to pick you up on that. You said the Alliance Party doubled their vote because people are disinterested in Sinn Féin and the whatever, the status quo. The fact of the matter is the Alliance Party doubled their vote because people are sick of their unionists and they're sick of the DUP. That's what that was. Sinn Féin got more votes than anybody, so you can't be saying people are disinterested in them. So say it right, will you please?
I'm saying they feel disenfranchised is what I'm saying. In other words, people are sick to death of the constant arguments and the constant fact they have no executive. That is what people are sick of. They're sick of the fact that the DUP and Sinn Féin can't seem to get their act together, and never the two will get together and sort out something or even join force. Look, I mean, you've got in many countries in the world, in America you've got the Democrats, you've got the Republicans. In Ireland, well, we used to have opposition parties in this country. We don't really anymore. But in saying that, there are many countries in the world that have two parties that think completely different, but they can get together and form a government. But unfortunately, Northern Ireland, that doesn't seem to be possible. And it's usually over something stupid. The numbers 087-188-0008. Getting away from that, would you vote to have a border poll or vote for United Ireland, theoretically? The number's 087-188-0008. Malachy Steenson has been on the show many times, and the self-confessed Republican joins me. Malachy, this must be a good day for you, is it?
Well, I don't see how it would be, Niall, when the situation we have today now is that a party which previously claimed to be Republican is now gung-ho to be Britain's first minister in the north of Ireland. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as progress from a Republican perspective.
Well, it is progress because it puts them in a position of power. And to be in a position of power, I mean, as you know, as well as I do, Sinn Féin for a long time have been looking and seeking a united Ireland or Irish reunification.
Don't be so naive. The Provisionals dropped any pretense at wanting to have either a united Ireland or a British withdrawal from this country a long time ago. And the very acceptance of the Good Friday Agreement enshrines that into law.
The acceptance of the Good Friday Agreement was in everybody's, I suppose, for everybody's sake, because nobody wanted to see a continuation of the weapon, of the gun.
That's two totally different arguments now. The ending of the war and the acceptance of your enemy's terms, the disarming of your army and complete surrender are two different things.
Okay, well, getting back to you, United Ireland.
It's not necessary now to have the two. One could have one without the other. If they believed that the war was going nowhere, and if they believed that the war should have ended, well, then they had a moral duty to end that war a long time before 1998.
Okay, in relation to the Irish reunification itself, or a 32-county Ireland, right? I mean, do you actually believe at this point, because so much time has passed now, do you believe it's possible without a massive amount of complications?
Well, firstly, yes, I do. But do I believe it's possible under what now manifests itself as politics and decides? No. Do I believe it will be achieved in my lifetime? No. And because when people talk about, and even in your intro when you were talking about a united Ireland, people seem to think that a united Ireland is simply attaching the North onto this kip or attaching this kip onto the North. Both states are totally dysfunctional. They're run for the benefit of a very small minority in this country. We have now seen, and you know,
in reality,
now the Sinn Féin vote didn't really change, right? There's still the same gap between nationalists and unionists. All that happened was the DUP vote transferred for the short term, I would suggest,
to the Alliance Party,
who are unionists.
No, I'm well aware the union, the majority will be unionists. I'm well aware of that. But what I'm saying is, and I had said earlier on, and somebody took issue with the fact that I believe that people in the North are fed up. They're fed up with this constant bickering all the time. And you've got a new generation of people, Malachy, who consider themselves not really to be British, not really to be Irish either to some degree, and consider themselves Northern Irish.
And, well, I'll even go further than that. In both states, you have a section of society now who has no belief or support for the political system. They don't see it doing anything for us. I mean, there is very little point in having a government in Leinster House when everything that Europe dictates, they follow. Likewise, you know, in the North, they want to be in the EU, they don't want to be in the EU. They want to accept the democratic vote when it suits them. What will happen if the referendum on a border poll is rejected, which I would predict that it will be, not alone in the North, where you have a unionist majority, but in the South, where people don't, and they've shown this since 1922, in fact, that they don't give a damn about the North. And they would rather it was just chopped off and sailed off into the sea.
Well, absolutely, and there is a large percentage, because I put it up on Twitter yesterday, I put a poll up on Twitter, and I was surprised to see that only 46% of people voted or said they would vote yes. The rest said, 36% said no, and I think 16 or 20% or whatever it was said they didn't, they hadn't a clue. And by the way, in relation to, and I want to come back to this argument that was made to me on WhatsApp saying that I was incorrect in saying that, you know, I'm looking it up here, and the Alliance Party was founded in 1970 from the New Ulster Movement. The Alliance Party originally represented moderate and non-sectarian unionism. However, over time, particularly in the 1990s, it moved towards neutrality on the union and has come now to represent a wider liberal and non-sectarian concerns.
When Oliver Napier and them people were setting her up and running it in the beginning, it was a soft unionist. It was the Greens of the day.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is people who don't really have any political leanings tend to vote for the Alliance Party. It is, Malachy, because I know people up north who have voted for the Alliance Party who have no political leanings.
The people who voted for them this time just left their
vote. Well, you're telling me they voted for them to spoil their vote?
No, they lent it to them. They voted for them this time because they didn't want to.
Well, they've doubled their vote. That tells you something, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
You know, they, of course. But that was predictable because people were going to leave the DUP. And in all reality, it was the SDLP who lost most seats to them.
Getting back to the Good Friday Agreement, for clarification in relation to this, because people seem somewhat confused in relation to would we be allowed to vote or not. The only thing we would be allowed to vote on is the fact that we should have a vote in the first place. In other words, on a border poll. So we wouldn't get to vote on whether there would be a United Ireland, I'm assuming.
I don't think that's what the Sinn Féin proposal is. Sinn Féin's proposal is that it's an all-Ireland vote, and there's other...
Well, that would be completely unfair, wouldn't it?
Well, hold on, there are other people who are campaigning for the same thing. But as it stands under the GFA agreement, the Secretary of State has to be satisfied that there's a real possibility that the...
that there's an appetite, yes.
Right? Yeah. As it currently stands, there is not. The figures don't give you that, right?
Well, I don't know, but I'm hearing the conversation happening more and more, and particularly since the election over the weekend, I'm hearing the conversation quite a lot.
Well, look at the figures now.
So, well, I mean, the last time that official figures were done, from what I remember the Belfast Telegraph did a huge poll in relation to it, and it was split down the middle. It was like 51%, 49%.
No, you can have all the opinion polls you want. We had an opinion poll last Thursday, which gave a majority unionist vote. And that didn't change. And it hasn't changed in decades.
And this comes back to, although you want a united Ireland, Malachy, and many people do want a united Ireland, would it be fair on unionists living in Northern Ireland or people who consider themselves to be British to be told suddenly you're living in Ireland, not Great Britain anymore?
Well, is it fair on the rest of us on the island whose people went out in 1916, who created this republic?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Well, then you're in a no-win situation if you start keep thinking like this.
This country was never partitioned before 1922.
Okay, right? Malachy, I can't go into too much detail, but stay there for a second because I don't have that much time during the day. Maybe we'll come back to it again at night sometime. Malachy, stay with me. Stephen, you're an Ireland's classic kid. How are you, Stephen?
How are you, Neil?
Good. Would you vote yes or no?
At the minute, I would vote no.
Okay.
I live in in Ireland, and I've lived here for donkey's years and love the place, but... For me, if the people in Northern Ireland, Republican or Unionist, it's their vote to join Ireland, not our vote.
Force them
to join Ireland. And they can make, if they decide to join, well, then it's voluntary. And the nays have to come in line with the yes.
But
if they vote no... Then we put it off for another 5 years until the climate changes in the north, until they all want to join Ireland. I would say the major problem is that Ireland is no utopia. It's one of the most expensive countries in the world with a completely dysfunctional health system. And we can't even afford to look after ourselves. Never mind take on
another 1.7 million people.
1.5 million.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Who, by the way, 1.5 million people who are now used to getting free health service, who are now used to having cheaper goods, who are used to paying less tax. So, I mean, unless we're going to turn around and tell every single one of them, I'm sorry, your life is going to become more expensive. I don't think that's going to happen. And we couldn't afford to have a free healthcare system in Ireland currently at the moment. Well, they'll tell us anyway, that we couldn't afford it. But you're right, the NHS is far superior to the HSE. So, I mean, there is a huge problem that it could take 10 years for a transition. But going back to what you said, that only the people of Northern Ireland should be allowed to vote. In saying that, Malachy's argument and many people's argument is, well, no, we should all be able to vote because it affects everybody on the island.
Well, if they vote and say yes, then the rest of Ireland should vote to say, do we accept them? Because it has. If we force a group of people who do not want to enter into something, we are then saying to them, sorry, You actually literally have no choice. And I do think that they'll take up arms. And we will have guns and bombs in the streets again.
It'd be fierce embarrassing if they voted yes and then we had a vote as to whether we wanted to accept it or not. We said no. That'd be fierce embarrassing and that would cause civil war.
Oh, I know. It's such a hard conundrum. But I do really think that instead of banging at the wall all the time and saying, we want this, is actually sitting down and saying, like, how can we improve our system? Like, even our private hospitals here are not that efficient, really. They're more efficient, but they're not that efficient. Hugely understaffed as well. And it's getting those sort of things. My major thing was if you had your health services sorted, health service sorted, no private, no paying.
Okay, I'm running out of time, Stephen. Malachy, just before I go into the break, if you can make it very brief, but Stephen has mentioned that he believes that if you had a situation where, of course, they voted yes in the North and we said no, we didn't want to accept it yet or we weren't ready for it yet, that you would be on the way to bombs on the streets and civil war again.
Well, I don't accept that, but it seems to be okay then in 1922 to have forced nationalists who didn't want to be part of the United
Kingdom.
We're
not living in 1922, we're living in 2022.
But just because something lasts for 100 years doesn't make it right now.
No, but you can't keep looking back in time, Malik. Well, you can't.
Either you accept that the majority of the people on the island in this nation have the right to determine its future, or you don't. I don't believe that the unionists should have been given a veto, ever. I don't believe that that veto should have been accepted in the Good Friday Agreement. I think that totally destroys any concept of national sovereignty.
But it happened.
What I want. But
You can't keep complaining about things that have happened, Malachy, because they've already happened. You can't change them.
Of course I can, and I'm entitled to have a political position which is in line with the Irish Republic. And what I would want to see, and, you know, this thing of saying, for instance, you've got our NHS up there and the health system down here is crap. We shouldn't be allowing a system in this country where we have a dysfunctional health system, one of the most, which is presided over by the highest paid civil servants in the world. And it's totally, you know, you wouldn't get it in a third world country.
And certainly at some times you would be absolutely right. Listen, I have to go into a break. The number's 087-188-0008. Nobody wants to see bombs on the streets, as somebody went text here. And I completely agree with Stephen. I think if you do have a United Ireland vote and it was voted for, the unionists and loyalists wouldn't be too pleased. You will have bombs in the streets and it will be returned to violence. Some of your comments coming in.
I think a United Ireland is the way to go. Plus we probably have a good football team as well then. They used to be deadly before that. Look at the rugby team. Not only that, I just think we should be one again. Don't be minding the English. Get them out. Come on, Ireland.
He's more about the football team. Somebody sends a text. At the time of open borders, mass migration and globalism, Irish reunification is a meaningless aphorism exploited by scheming politicians to get Republican votes. How can we have Irish reunification when the Irish are second-class citizens of their own country? Think about it. We're being bribed by Irish reunification by politicians who don't believe in national sovereignty. Let me go to Brian. Brian, you're an Ireland's classic hits. How are you doing, Brian?
Hi, Neil. Not too bad at all.
Good, Brian. I mean, what do you think of the idea of a United Ireland? I mean, if you could vote for it tomorrow, would you vote yes or no?
Well, I'd be in favour of a 32-county Ireland, but I don't think it'll happen at the moment because of the political situation up there at the moment. I mean, when the Good Friday Agreement brought into the Hunt system, it was probably a good idea at the time, but it's past the sell-by date now. Unless you can get Sinn Féin with the Alliance Party in some sort of coalition, or the DUP with the Alliance in some form of a coalition, and get back to real politics and get this nationalist, unionist kind of thing out of it and let them govern. I mean, they goes into the Assembly and they don't go to work and they get paid.
Look, we all know they had 3 years at one stage where there was no Assembly. Three years.
But if you've got a proper system where you could form coalitions within the Assembly, you get back to some kind of normal politics. And then we could be talking about a United Ireland. At the moment, United Ireland won't happen because of the Hunt system that's up there. We have to get rid of the Hunt and get back to normal politics, for lack of a better word, where you can form coalitions between different parties. Right, they might have different views on different things, but I mean, we have coalitions down here for, the last 15, 20 years. It mightn't be great, but I mean...
In the last election, sure, it took us nearly 6 months to form a government down here, for God's sake.
And that's because Micheál Martin wanted to become Taoiseach, and he didn't have enough votes. I mean, that's the only reason
Also because they wouldn't form a coalition again with Sinn Féin.
Yes, but I mean... It's exactly the same issue, isn't it? No, it's not, because I mean, in the North...
It is the same issue. You had Micheál Martin on the radio there this morning suggesting, you know, they need to get their finger out up there and form an executive, right? An assembly. And yet Micheál Martin and the Irish government did exactly the same thing 2 years ago when they couldn't form a government in Ireland because they wouldn't share power with Sinn Féin.
But they did form a coalition in the end of it.
Well, in the end they did.
I mean, there was...
They didn't want to work with them, but...
Yeah, but I mean, the Greens came on board because they could see, like, that they get up policies maybe through or whatever.
Well, yeah, we all seen what happened there, didn't we?
Yeah, but I mean, they're more interested. I mean, the planet will be here after we're gone. I mean, we shouldn't be talking about saving the planet. We should be talking about saving people.
I couldn't agree with you more, Brian. But getting back to Northern Ireland, apart from the political aspect of it, there are a lot of financial complications in relation to Ireland being one, 32 county Ireland. There are massive complications financially for it. I mean, and what way we work that out, that could take a decade.
Yeah, and that's the reason why we should be going into some kind of normal politics with coalitions up there. And then it would evolve over a period of time where the Northern Ireland would stay as Northern Ireland as kind of some kind of independent
separate entity
or something. Yeah, yeah, separate entity or whatever. I mean,
would that be a good start to it then, for Northern Ireland to be independent, an independent country of its own, so to speak?
Well, I mean, you look at Scotland and you look at Wales, they're able to govern their little parts of the country that they have.
Mm-hmm.
In Northern Ireland, they're not able to do anything because you've got the Unionists on one side and Sinn Féin on the other side. And
they do rely on England quite a lot and the United Kingdom government because, of course, they can't afford it. They can't afford the six counties.
The Scottish get money from the British government. The Wales gets money from the British government.
Not to the extent per head of population, which is €5,000 per day per person.
But they can't spend it in Northern Ireland because they haven't got an assembly. But yet we can pay their salaries, no problem. I mean, if they were told after 2 months, if you haven't formed a coalition, you're all out of a job and you're not getting paid. Because we could have the same thing happening. The assembly could be there for the next 3 years. And they'd be all getting paid and nothing be done. And they can't govern the place then because they haven't got an executive. But if we got rid of the Hunt system, we would get some sort of an executive.
All right, not a bad idea. I said that the last time when they had the last 3 year break where they were all getting paid, they should have been all booted out on their ear. And by the way, the suggestion that they may have been booted out in their ear brought them back together very quickly, by the way. So we all saw that happen.
But it took them 3 years to do it. And then
absolutely.
They went back
but it was in. Only, but they only got back together, they only got it together eventually because of the threat they were all going to get booted out.
Yeah, and then when they went back in, they found some other reason then to bring down the executive again. And I mean, before the election, there was no executive.
Okay, well, listen, I have to go to a break. Brian, thank you very much indeed. Brian believes it could take a lot of time. Generally speaking, our poll, by the way, today, it looks like the majority of people are saying no, surprisingly enough. I'm looking at 46% of people saying yes, roughly, which is more or less the same as what we had on Twitter.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.